Welcome to Squabbles of the Soul, a podcast from the students at Middle Tennessee State University. In this podcast, we will discuss controversial issues in the agriculture industry. Each issue discussed is open to interpretation of the listener and does not reflect the opinions or views of Middle Tennessee State University as a whole. Join us now. In the fall of 2020, a young boy came down from the Appalachian Mountains and made his way over to Middle Tennessee State University. He was seeking a degree in agriculture business with a minor in secondary education and leadership. That young boy is me. My name is Richie Lowry, and I will be your host today on Squabbles of the Soul. Like to introduce my guest today, Lily Pruitt West. If you want to tell us, a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and all that good stuff.
Hi. So I'm joining you from Houston, Texas, and I am one of four agriculture teachers here at Chavez High School. And we are a very urban program. We are in Houston ISD, which is the seventh largest school district in the nation. And I'm a part of an all-female agriculture teaching team. I also am the department leader. And the other role, one of the many other roles I have, is I'm a national FFA teacher ambassador. So I go through and I assist a lot of other people with finding resources and other things. And so pretty involved in my state and here in Texas. And so I'm glad to be able to join this podcast.
Awesome. So have you taught in any other areas of the country, or have you just been in Texas for your whole career?
So this is my 12th year of teaching, and I have actually taught all over the state of Texas. So I've not taught anywhere besides Texas, but I started out teaching in a small six-man football school with about 80 kids, K through 12. And I've taught a variety of courses in agriculture, and for a couple years I taught science. So I went from one of the smallest school districts in Texas to I work in literally the largest school district here in Texas. So I have been in a variety of different agriculture programs, both multi-teacher and single teacher department.
Right. Okay. So which one did you prefer? Like, did you enjoy the smaller setting high school, or did you like enjoy what you're doing now in the urban setting?
I did not go into teaching thinking that I was going to be teaching in an urban program, but I have found a true passion for giving opportunity to non-traditional ag students, and so this is something I'm extremely passionate about, and have found that this is really the best fit for me. I inherited a home in the Houston area from a family member, and so I said, well, I kind of have this house, and so just kind of ended up here because of that, but took that opportunity and really found something that drives me. And so while it wasn't something I started out when many years ago when I was teaching, it really has kind of become a big part of who I am and what I advocate for. And I truly see that teaching in an urban setting, I see the future of agriculture sitting in my class every single day. I know that my kids probably look a little bit different than most, but that's okay because I really get to teach the world's best kids.
Right, and that really connected with me because I feel like I'm not the traditional ag student either. And coming from East Tennessee, I came from the mountains and everything and moved over here to Middle Tennessee where it's really flat and never seen anything like it. But that really, spoke to me because first day in class, my ag teacher told me that I wasn't the typical ag student. So that spoke to me. What's your alma mater? What college did you go to?
So I have a Bachelor's of Science in Interdisciplinary Agriculture with a teacher certification from Texas Tech University and the very flat land of Lubbock, Texas, up in the Panhandle. And then in May, I just finished up my master's degree from Sol Ross University, which is known as the Frontier University because it is in the mountains of Texas. Not that many people think that we have
Okay.
mountains,
Yeah,
but
I was, yeah.
it's in the desert, right in the middle of the desert, not far from Big Bend National Park. And so I have a degree, my master's degree is in animal science from Sol Ross. So those are where my two degrees are.
Right, yeah, okay. You've been all over the state of Texas, it sounds like. Okay, so there's this ideal Farm Bureau presented for this year's speech, and it was what is the problems that can come with mandating a nationwide teacher licensure for agriculture educators. So that would mean that everything is standardized across the nation for each agriculture teacher. What would that mean for us?
I truly believe that it would mean that we really would have to agree on standards. And it would mandate standards across the nation. And right now we have a whole patchwork of basically standards for what it means to be an agriculture teacher across the nation. And so if we had this nationwide licensure, I feel like it would mean that I'm in Texas and that I would have to have the same foundation of knowledge as somebody in New York, as somebody in Tennessee, as somebody in Hawaii, Alaska, all of those different states. Right now, what it takes to get certified is so different. The more I connect with other ag teachers across the nation, the more I realize that the path to getting licensed is very different, but also the expectations. And I feel like it would be a really good opportunity for us to kind of standardize what we do and how we do and what we think of as far as what is agricultural education. And so I really think I really support the idea of this, of a national licensure. Even though we kind of have something similar right now with the national teaching certification, but that's not quite the same thing because it's not a licensure, it's some extra thing. That is not very popular and things like that. But I really like this idea that everybody would be on the same level playing field, I guess, nationwide. And that it wouldn't be such a hodgepodge of different ways and different things that each of
Yeah.
us have to get to.
Right. So, with that, if that were to happen where we'd have a nationwide licensure for the agriculture teachers, are there any issues that would arise with, let's say, an ag teacher in Hawaii or Alaska having to teach the same standards as one in Florida might teach? Like, so in Hawaii, they might be growing coffee or pineapples. Would we expect a teacher in Florida to implement those same standards?
Like I'm in one of the few states that has a strong tradition of a standards. Like our standards are written in the administrative code for the state of Texas, so the education code and things like that. And it's been like that for a lot of decades. Whereas many states just kind of have a loose like, here's some things you need all CTE people to know. What our standards are not about the specific species or the specifics of those things. It's more about here's Production Act. Teach about what production agriculture looks like. Here's the parts of the plant, here's the anatomy. I think those basic foundation knowledge should be the same, right? And every teacher across the nation needs to have a foundation of those same things, but how you actually apply that to what agriculture looks like in your state needs to be different. But having a strong foundation, how do you apply these principles? So yes, we all have the same standards. I teach the same standards in the city of Houston. I'm right next to a ship channel. I'm right next to refineries. I'm right next to an airport, right? An international airport. But I have the same standards as when I taught in the mountains of, in West Texas, where it was, a desert. So yes, I have the same standards, but how I apply it in my classroom is going to be different based on the type of kids I have. What are their career, outlook? Do most of the kids stay at home or do most of them leave? Things like that. And so I had to apply them differently, but the same academic knowledge needs to be the same. The three circle model, it needs to be the same. The same understanding of what it means to have a three circle model and why is it strong and and making sure that it's enshrined in our standards. I just recently had a conversation with somebody that doesn't have FFA in their ag program, and my mind was blown. And I was just like, how can you do this? We have a three circle model, and this is like one of the things I teach. And so I think making sure that whatever we do nationwide, that those things are there. And that every teacher, obviously this teacher didn't quite understand about the three circle model and the strength of it and why is it important, and that I'm allowing students to apply what they're learning and then doing something with it. That's one of the strongest parts of ag ed that I love, is that I can allow students, I teach them content and then I'm like, okay, I need you to go out and do it. Go into a competition and do it. I need you to go to your SAE and do that. And things like that. So that three circle model and the strength of it. So, but content is content. As far as like standards and things like that, I can look at any of the standards for any of the classes we have here in Texas, and I could give it to my best friend in California and say, "Here, teach this," and she could teach it. But the way that she would apply those standards is going to be different. So I don't think that standards should be different from state to state. I do think that they need to be consistent. I think what it means to be an ag educator needs to be consistent across the country. Now, obviously, I'm in Texas. We stock show a lot. We have a huge, livestock show industry. Well, that shouldn't be in my standards, even though that's a big part of, what it means to be an ag teacher. In Texas, that's not something that needs to be standardized across the country. That's kind of a local how we apply it kind of thing. But the fact that animal science is offered for some pathways would be certainly across the country, the same basic standards. So I think things like that are really important, because when I go to a national conference, it's very obvious sometimes that we have very different ideas about ag education from state to state. And if we could all get on board and say, okay, this is what it means to have a quality program, right? We all say, this is a quality program. This is the three circle model. We need to enshrine that. And then to be an ag educator, these are the things I do. That doesn't mean that you can't be heavy in one topic. And, like we're really big on livestock SAEs here in Texas, but that doesn't mean that being an ag educator in another state has to be that involved. I don't think that that's what I'm advocating for. I think it's the idea that we know how to, that application, experiential learning is a huge part of what we do, that it's not just a stand at the front of the room and deliver a lecture and just stand and read a PowerPoint and hear some fill in blanks. I do that, but that's not shouldn't be every day, right? And so I think about this would be more about how do you apply that? What's some strong pedagogy in the CTE classroom? And pedagogy is how is it different in ag versus, another CTE class and things like that. Some pedagogy that might be unique to us, how to supervise SAEs, things like that. I think that if we had a national licensure, I think that would be a part of it, is that supervising SAEs is something unique to what we do. No other CTE instructor on my campus has anything remotely similar. And so there's some unique things about those, supervision, and how do you supervise those projects? Obviously, CTSOs or Career Technical Student Organizations, those across CTE, but how they're applied for us is a little bit different. And so I would like to see all of those things kind of enshrined and part of that, because those are things that make us unique and important and valued, and make us different. And so I would want all of those things to be there.
Right. And I'm really glad that you brought up the three circle model, because I think that oftentimes it's overlooked in our agriculture courses. For example, in the hometown that I'm from, there's a high school that has, all these agriculture classes like ag science and all that, but they don't have an FFA program. And FFA is a crucial part of the three-step model, as is the SAEs and classroom interaction. They're all equally important. But in my chapter that I was from, we had the FFA and we had our classroom interaction, but SAE wasn't a requirement. And it wasn't until I got to Middle Tennessee State that I learned that all three of these are equally important and they need to be enshrined in our curriculum for agriculture. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. Another thing that, is an issue, the teacher shortage. Since 2007, it's been on a steady decline. Do you think that the nationwide licensure process would open up opportunities for an agriculture teacher like myself? That I'm living in Tennessee, but where I'm from, it's 5 minutes from North Carolina. So would that open up new job opportunities for people to travel across the state to seek another job?
I think that it would. I could see that we, in Texas, we have 2,500 ag teachers. It's a huge number. Over 20% of the ag teachers in the nation are in Texas, something like that, the last time I checked. So we every year have a huge number of ag teachers that we need to recruit, obviously, as people, things like that. I would mean that quality teachers could go anywhere, wherever they need to. Maybe I know that some people have married they've gotten married, had a spouse in the military, and they're struggling because they go to a new state. They've got to redo their licensure. It's a difficult process, things like that. Life circumstances happen, and I think that it would allow schools to be able to recruit quality ag teachers from anywhere that they have, that they come from. I know that sometimes, coming from one state to another can be difficult just because you don't have a network and things like that. But I think that it would assure, ensure that everybody has an equal chance at those things and can go wherever they need to go for whatever circumstances. I think that it would help strengthen ag in all states. Some states definitely have stronger ag education components in their state than others, and I think it would elevate everybody. I don't think that it would bring us down to the lowest common denominator. I think it would actually bring us all up. And as you said, you live in one state, but 5 minutes away is another state, and wherever the jobs may be and the opportunities. I think that every student deserves the opportunity to have a quality teacher, and I think that that would be important. I teach in a large urban high school where I've got kids that it, in high school, they may only have one or two, it's not unusual for a kid half of their high school to career to not have any teacher of record in a core class, not have a certified math or science teacher and things like that. And I think about how important or how much they lose out on that experience. And I think doing the same thing on the ag side is having that everybody could have a certified teacher wherever they come from. When I go to hire a new ag teacher, as department lead, I could say, hey, it doesn't matter what state you're from, we can hire you. And my principal doesn't have to stress about, oh my gosh, can we, are you a state that has a reciprocal agreement? And could, what's it going to take for you to be able to get through this process and things like that? Some states are easier than others, I know. But I think being able to recruit those quality ag teachers from whatever university, and I think there's some wonderful programs that are doing innovative things across the nation. But we're not, it's harder for us to recruit those people because the licensure requirements can be extremely difficult.
Right. And yeah, it does open up a lot more opportunities because these teachers are locked into the state that they, have their licensure in. And especially for me, it's, it would be a great thing for me to be able to go teach in North Carolina if the job arose, but I could also teach in Tennessee. But looking ahead 10 years from now, with students being in this curriculum, if it were to, become a thing, how would that prepare them for the future jobs? Could they be embedded into any job in the country, or like would it still be specific to region with our standards?
I absolutely think that this could be looking forward as in a way to elevate ag ed as far as to being able to better prepare us or better prepare us to prepare our students to be global thinkers, to be able to be, to go across the nation and things like that. I certainly think that that could be a part of it is how do we, some states really their standards focus on agriculture within their state. But if we had nationwide licensure, then I think in essence you're going to end up with nationwide standards as a natural result. And I think what you'll end up with is state us a focus on not only what does agriculture look like in my local community, my state, but also across the country and the diversity of that and being able to teach that. And I think preparing our kids for a more global society. And I think I just had a conversation with a kiddo, and I'm talking about with this kid who is like this intersectional. It's like this kid represents all the different underrepresented communities and within agriculture. And I'm talking to him, and he's like, "Yes, I want to be able to do this." So I was like talking to him about like maybe you when you can learn how to advocate for agriculture and including everybody and inclusion, and there's these diversity inclusion jobs, and you can go to these big ag conglomerates and be in charge of that one day, and but you're probably going to have to move across the country. And he's like, absolutely. So really, I think that if you're not having those conversations with your kids, you're losing out. But if the nationwide licensure, if the way that I would envision it, would force us to really get on board with those things and enshrine how much of a global society we have, how much agriculture doesn't look the same across the nation, but how important it is at every single level to be responsive. And I can even look at my own school in 6 years that I've been on my campus, how much it's changed. The demographics have changed. So I'm thinking within my own school community, it's changed. So why wouldn't it be changing even within small towns and things like that? So I can see that definitely this would kind of force the conversations about some other things. I don't necessarily think that it's going to be implicit, but I think it will happen as a natural result that in 10 years, things would change. And I think that the industry, as a whole, ag ed, would be going in a more progressive fashion. And I think we are better going to be able to better prepare our students for the future.
Right, and that's always, our goal is to better prepare our students for the future. Thank you for interviewing, or anything that you would like to say to a future ag student.
I guess, like, to somebody that's going to be going into the profession, the only thing I have to say is that I guess don't lose hope. If you don't get it, the first job that you get is not the right fit, keep going. And never let your kids give up, and never give up on yourself, because this is a hard profession, but it is the most meaningful profession. And find others that can support you. Find mentors and encourage your students to do the same. The things that we tell our kids, do that for yourself, and encourage yourself, push yourself. And I think this is a great profession, and I have met some of my closest friends through this profession, and I encourage my kids to do the same and be a model of what it means to be an agricultural profession. And I just good luck to everyone.
As you can tell, Miss West was very knowledgeable about agriculture and licensure as a whole. My next guest actually comes from Orlando, Florida. Her name is Haley Cheatham, and she has been teaching in the school district for quite a while, so we'll hear what she has to say next.
My guest today is Haley Cheatham. She is from the Orlando area. Haley, thank you for joining me today. If you want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do.
My name's Haley. I've been teaching ag. This is my ninth year. I teach in Orlando, Florida. That's
All right. Have you taught anywhere else other than the Florida area, or you just have been in that area?
just Florida.
Just Florida? Okay. Did you like grow up in Florida, or are you from somewhere else?
I grew up in Florida, about 2 hours south of Orlando.
Okay, so you went to college in Florida too, right?
Yep.
All right. What school was it? Was that University of Florida, or where was that at?
University of Florida.
University of Florida, Gators. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, Farm Bureau presented this ideal for their discussion meet this year. And the question was, what are some challenges and some benefits of mandating a nationwide teacher licensure for agriculture teachers? This would mean changing standards across the United States so everybody conform to one. So how do you feel about this topic?
I mean, I can see the good and the bad. It could go either way. I don't really think it's necessary, But it could be cool, and it would make you more marketable as a teacher if you wanted to move somewhere else to have a national licensure. Would kind of make you more of a hot commodity.
Right. Why do you feel like this is such a big issue? Like, why don't we just go ahead and do it? Why was it a topic of discussion? Why did we not just go ahead and do it instead of having to debate about it?
I think the hardest thing is making the standards the same across the country, because every state sets their own standards. So they'd have to get together and kind of form that as one, which it's very hard to get 50 states to agree to one thing.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And it would be, weird to expect a teacher in Florida to teach the same standards as a teacher in Alaska would teach their students.
Yeah.
So with this licensure, it would be changing curriculum and everything. But do you think that with that change in curriculum, would we still be teaching things that are, specific to Florida, like growing palm trees and things like that, as opposed to teaching people in Alaska how to grow pine trees?
I think you could, because even within the Florida standards, there's a lot of wiggle room where you can kind of go more in depth with certain things if you do that in your area, or you can kind of just brush the surface if you don't do that in your area.
Right. Yeah. So the ag science, like, it would be, the same across the board, but we could put our own state's perception on that standard.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So if you can think of any opportunities, other than teachers being able to be licensed in other states, what are some opportunities that we could see for our students maybe in the future, how it would prepare them to join the workforce, like in any region of the country? So these standards that we're going to be teaching, like, they would influence everybody. So it would be the same across the board.
Yeah, I think having ag classes under transcript would kind of mean a little bit more then, because everybody would know what the standards are and they can see them across the board.
Right. So like you said, with the teachers, like, do you think that it would help the quality of agriculture if this were to be implemented as far as teachers go? So right now, teachers are basically locked into the state that they're teaching in, or that they've got their license in. So do you think that teachers moving across states and everything like that, do you think that that would benefit agriculture, or do you think that that would hurt us by not having quality teachers?
I think it would be a benefit, because to get the national licensure, you'd have to be a quality teacher. I don't see that there'd be a ton of movement between states and stuff, but it would be helpful for the teacher if they were moving.
Right. Because, like, for me, in my situation, I'm currently living in Murfreesboro, which is about 230 miles from where I'm originally from, in East Tennessee. So I'm on the border of East Tennessee and North Carolina. And for me, I would personally like to try to go across the border to North Carolina to try to teach. So for this, I feel like for me, it would be a good opportunity. Do you think that this would help with the teacher shortage? Because, like I said, with the teachers being locked to their state they're in, do you think that they would be, like, do you think that they would get paid more to travel across the state to an area that needed the ag teacher?
They definitely could. It would help a lot of people in, like, your situation that are on the borders, so that they could more easily go to the other state. It could also be a hindrance in that, like, it's another hoop to jump through. So it's another thing for teachers to do, another thing for us to have to pay for, and all of that.
Right. And, like, my last interviewee, she was a teacher in Houston, an ag teacher in Houston. I believe that she was the coordinator for the statewide FFA in Texas. And she had mentioned how these people that are on military bases, they've got spouses that have, traveled to a state that's outside of their licensure area. Mm-hmm. So do you think that this would be beneficial to, the military spouses? Do you think it would be easier for them to get a licensure to where they could travel to wherever it's needed?
Yeah, it would definitely be useful for someone like that.
Right. Well, I think that's about all that I have today. Is there any like final thoughts, comments, or concerns, or like some advice that you could give to a future ag teacher going into this?
Beg, borrow, and steal everything, especially during your student teaching. Anything you can get your hands on, keep it, because you never know when you're going to need it.
Right. And that's something that our ag teacher, he's trying to like get us to do right now. We're creating a e-portfolio so we can have all that stuff together when we go for a job interview. And he's really helping set us up. So hopefully within the next 5 years, I will be joining you in the teaching career.
Good luck.
Awesome. I appreciate your time with me, and good luck in the rest of your school year. I know it's about over and we're all looking forward to winter break.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I do appreciate your time, and you have a great evening.
As you can tell from both interviews, a nationwide licensure is a controversial issue that remains a topic of debate. I hope that with the perspectives of my two guests, you as the listener are able to form your own opinions. Until next time, I've been your host, Richie Lowry. This has been another episode of Squabbles of the Soil. Join us next time as we discuss more controversial issues in the agricultural industry. On behalf of Middle Tennessee State University and the students in the Agricultural Education Department, we would like to thank you for listening.